Today we're looking at baptism. Next week we will look at a sacrament which I don't think we've explored as much. We will look at the other of the two sacraments. We'll look at Eucharist. But what about the scriptures? What about the gospel story of the baptism? What is John doing? Why is he baptizing? What is this all about? Why is he out there in the wilderness with this huge crowd of people washing them in the river? What is the purpose of that? Well, a clue to the purpose lies in the location, an historic one for Jews. It is across this river, the River Jordan, that the Jewish people had come more than 1,000 years before to enter the land of Canaan, this promised land. John is taking the people out of Jerusalem and out of the Judean countryside and crossing with them out of the promised land, back into the wilderness. And he's doing it because he thinks that's where they really are spiritually. He feels that in their occupied condition, the occupied condition of people living in Jerusalem, in Israel at his time, they have lost their claim to the promised land and their Jewishness by their continual compromises with various foreign overlords who have invaded them over a period of centuries. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, and most recently, Imperial Rome. If you know the history of Israel, it's a history of invasions and occupations. So he's trying to restart their integrity by taking them back to the wilderness where their ancestors had wandered 40 years before entering the land promised to Abraham, and then crossing back with them into the promised land, dunking them in the river on the way to wash away or baptize them of their sins of secular compromise. He wants to remind them who they are and whose they are and have them start again, taking back the promised land. And tradition tells us that he is doing the dunking, the baptizing, in a particular way. He stands deep in the river, and he invites each person to put their life in his hands. He holds them in the water, leaning back or even floating on his arm, according to the tradition, and he puts his hand over their mouth and nose and holds them under the water. It's a profound act of trust. If he wanted to, he could simply hold them there. They would be helpless. He holds each life in his hand. In this way, each baptism is a death, and then it is a resurrection. He wants them to know the integrity of your relationship with God and the faith that is given you is a matter of life and death. In the River Jordan, in baptism, die to the old life and rise to the new. The Gospels tell us that he is baptizing all of Jerusalem and the whole Judean countryside in this way. Is it dozens of people? Is it hundreds? Is it thousands of people? We don't really know, but it's a lot. It could be all day long, baptize, baptize, baptize. Perhaps for days at a time, I don't know. But something different happens for Jesus. All four Gospels agree on that. It's a rare moment where all four Gospels agree. A bird lands on him. All four canonical Gospels mention it. A dove. And who knows, it could have just been a dove looking for a place to land. Who knows? It could have been a more mystical vision of the Holy Spirit. Luke clearly says that it was in bodily form, like a dove. All I know is that if ever I baptize someone and a dove lands on them, or any other bird for that matter, I will find it profoundly moving and meaningful. It would be a thing I would never forget, and I would just have to tell people about it. And more than words ever could, it would show me in a kind of primal way an affirmation, perhaps, of the Creator. It would make me think that perhaps God had a purpose and a plan for that event and for that person. If that person then went on to do incredible things that transformed the community and transformed the world, it would all make sense to me. I think it would have that meaning whether or not I had ever read of such a thing in the Bible. But there is more. The three synoptic gospels agree that some words were heard. A voice from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." After preaching, reflecting, and teaching about these words for more than 20 years, I've come to the conclusion that these words are said to all of us. The same voice from heaven seeks to convey to each of our hearts this same message of love and affirmation. The purpose is to tell us who we are and whose we are. I truly believe God is saying these words now to each and every human being. If I stop and think about it, I might say that it doesn't stop with human beings, that this voice of love is what calls the entire cosmos and the entirety of nature into being. But what is different about Jesus is that he hears it. He hears it. He is coming up out of the water, coming back to life, as it were, from being in the place of death under the water, and he hears it. He knows it is speaking to him, and it changes everything for him. He wakes up. He realizes, I have everything I need. I will never want for anything ever again. In this understanding of God's love, I am full. I am complete. I have a new purpose. I have regained the original purpose for which God created me. I and the Father are one. And he's able to go out into the desert after that and fast for 40 days and 40 nights because he is no longer hungry. He is full of the Word of God. After that, he becomes a source of the message of this love, this awakening, for everyone he meets. This is the purpose of baptism. Of our baptism. This is why we do this sacrament, to have this awakening, the same spiritual awakening that Jesus had, the same one, to die to the old life, wash it away, and rise to the new. And what is washed away in baptism is, we say it as sin. It's the washing away of the things that we regret, the things that we feel we did wrong, but it's also the washing away of that sin where we think we are not good enough, or that we think we could be better. And I, from where I am, I see a lot of people that struggle with that. That feeling that I didn't quite make it, or someone I know thinks I didn't quite make it, or we think there's someone else that doesn't quite measure up. And that is the sin that has washed away. That is the new beginning we seem to need again and again, to let go of that and hear again these words of affirmation. You are loved. You are complete. You are good enough. You are God's child. We need that so deeply. And it's that opportunity to try again is so uniquely part of Christianity. It's our great spiritual opportunity in all the difficulties we have in living together with one another. So it's we die to the old life, we wash it away and rise to the new. And we the purpose is to hear from God these words of love and affirmation, meant in a special way for each of us, so that each of us knows that we are loved, that we are the beloved, that we have that to draw on, that being loved is the essence of our being. And perhaps most importantly, to have each of us know that every single person around us is God's beloved too. No matter what we may find ourselves thinking about each other or feel about other people at times, in baptism, we hope to become rivers of this nourishing love which God sends through us to feed his people. In baptism, we hope to have this awakening again, to be sustained by God's love throughout our lives, and to sustain others with God's love as well. So I want to invite you to stand and turn and face the font, and I need a volunteer to pour some water.